truly the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are getting back to our roots today in our first sermon series, and we have a special guest, John Wesley. He's come in the form of a bobblehead. So we're going to put John right over here, and he'll be with us today. Actually, we'll set him right there. Some of you may or may not know, but this church started about 52 years ago. I believe it'll be next month. It'll be 52 years that we will celebrate the life of this church. And this lectern, this pulpit here, was one of the original from over 50 years ago. Isn't that amazing that we get to have that with us in this space here today? This morning, we're gonna journey back in time to 1709. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? So 1709, and it was a night like any other. And Sam and Susanna Wesley had tucked their 8 children in bed. Sam, who was a minister for the Church of England, had just finished up work in his study around 10:30 that evening, and he was headed to bed. And it was sometime later that he was awoken by this smell of fire. And it is suggested that some disgruntled members of his congregation set the fire. Don't get any ideas. He and his wife, Susanna, hurried to get all of the children out of the house. Little John Wesley was sound asleep in his room, and no one could get to him due to the flames. Sam and the other children, they knelt and they prayed for John, and they committed his soul to God. He was almost 6 years old, just a little boy. And as John awoke, he awoke to the smell in the sight of these flames. And he had the forethought to open a window and to cry out for help. 2 men came to catch him as he jumped out of his window. And thankfully, the entire family was saved that night. For the rest of John Wesley's life, he referred to himself as a brand plucked from the burning. And it comes from a familiar passage in Zechariah. The prophet spoke of Joshua, the high priest. Is this not a man, a burning stick snatched from the fire? Much of the Bible, as we know, is written in metaphors or parables. And Jesus, he often spoke in parables, almost as a code. And his stories had hidden meanings to them. And they weren't meant to hide the meaning from the believers, but to hide meaning from superficial followers and antagonists. We are familiar with the passage from Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. I'd like to share with you this morning. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat while the people stood along the shore and listened to him. And he told them many things in parables. And the one that he shared was about a farmer. And a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and ate it up, and some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. And other seed, it fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on very good soil, which produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Jesus said, whoever has ears, let them hear. We continue on in verse 18. Hear these words. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. So grateful when we have times like this in scripture that it says, let me just explain this to you. It says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in their heart. This is the seed that has been sown along the path. And the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and receives it with great joy. But since they have no root, it only lasts for a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And then the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it, and the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So in this parable, we have the sower, and we have the seed, and we have the soil. So who is the sower of the seed? Christ. Christ is the sower of the seed and all believers. You see, we all hold on or plant seeds. Gardening takes discipline, just as sowing for the kingdom takes discipline. We're told to sow in abundance. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully." And then Galatians 6:9, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And so with love. James 3:18, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Friends, what are you sowing? What are you sowing? And the second is the seed. The word of God is the seed. Seeds have to be planted and cultivated in order to produce fruit. Think about it. There's an orchard in an apple, and there's a forest in an acorn. We also have the soil. Some of you may be familiar with this. For those of you that are involved with agriculture, there's a soil test to test the soil. And it tests the soil to determine the nutrient content. Minerals also checks for minerals in the soil. And it checks the fertility of the soil and tests to find out what the expected growth potential is based on that testing. You see, we never stop growing in God. We never stop growing in God. If we open our minds and our hearts, He's always speaking to us. If you were to have a soil report on your heart, what would that soil report be? What is your expected growth potential? What is your expected growth potential? Oh God, till the soil of our hearts so that we might hear and understand you. So friends, a question I want you to ponder this morning is, how are you positioning yourself for spiritual growth? How are you positioning yourself for spiritual growth? Life is a journey, as we all know, and we are all on different paths. What are the times that you have been on a path that you just don't understand? You just don't understand. Maybe a rocky path that you experience joy, but when trouble comes, you've got nothing to anchor you. No roots under those rocks. Maybe your path has a few weeds or a few thorns. Worries that take over like thorns. And then many of us have lawns, and we know what happens if we don't take care of our weeds and we just mow over them. What happens? They just come back, right? They just come back. We need some weed killer in our spiritual lives. Good soil, Jesus says, is the kingdom. The kingdom as it grows. And good soil takes work and discipline and patience. And you have to till that soil and be willing to allow God to work in you each day. And God willing, each day we have the opportunity to walk a new path. I have a favorite devotional of mine. It's called In Christ by E. Stanley Jones. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a passage in there that something that Stanley had said, and he says that the Christian is always just getting started. Everything in Jesus is a beginning. There are no endings, for our endings are only beginnings. Oh, friends, that is good news. That is good news. You see, God desires for us to sow for a great awakening. God, give us ears to hear and wisdom to understand that we may be rooted in you, rooted in you. How are you positioning yourself for spiritual growth? John Wesley came to America to sow for a great awakening in 1735. In his travel from England to Georgia, it took 4 months. Can you imagine? It took 4 months by boat to get here. And he traveled with his brother Charles and Benjamin Ingram as missionaries to the U.S. And he was young, and he was passionate, and he was enthusiastic. And when John landed in Georgia, he experienced just a few barriers. His mission field included colonists and Indians, and there was a language and also a cultural barrier. And his background was high church, because he'd come from the Church of England. And he was in this situation that he felt like he just didn't quite belong. Anybody have that? Being in a situation and feel like you just don't quite belong? John, he experienced quite that same feeling, but he persevered. He persevered. And when he was on his voyage, he met a young lady named Sophie Hopke. And he had great feelings for her. And John was one of those guys who was slow to commit. Ladies, anybody know anybody? Guy slow to commit, right? He was slow to commit, John was. And they had this agreement. You see, John, he didn't propose to Sophie, but he believed that she would not marry another man. They just kind of had this agreement, or so John thought. And it turns out that Sophie ran away to South Carolina, and she eloped with another man. Oh, poor John, poor John. And John, he had endless journals, and so we are so blessed to be able to have access to those journals. So I want to share with you a page out of his journal from March 8th. Now, as I read this to you, I want you to remember a couple things. One, he was British. This was in the 1700s, and John was a little salty. He was a little salty. Hear these words from John's journal. Miss Sophie engaged herself to Mr. Williamson, a person not remarkable for his handsomeness, neither for his greatness, neither for his wit or knowledge or sense, and least of all for religion. Ooh, he doesn't have many good things to say about Mr. Williamson, does he? And on Saturday, March 12th, they were married at Perrysburg, this being the day which completed the year from my first speaking to her. What thou, O God, I know not now, but I shall know hereafter. Poor John. So what did John do? What was his response of being a man of God? How did he respond to this situation? How did he respond? Well, he refused to give her communion. That's not the right response. That is not the right response. And he got in big trouble for denying her communion, and they actually pressed charges against him and took him to court. He had to go to court, which was eventually thrown out because they said it was an ecclesial matter, a matter of the church, not a matter for the state to decide. So things went from bad to worse for John, but he made amends before he left, and he was just there for 2 years in Georgia. And when he left, he felt like a failure. You see, when John Wesley came to America, his path, it was a little rough. It was a little rough, and some of his seeds fell on rocky soil. Some were choked out by thorns, and some fell on fertile soil, and it took root, but he just didn't know it at the time. Friends, never underestimate the power of God to work in your circumstances, good or bad. Never underestimate the power of God. You never know how God will use you or how he might use others to speak to you. In 1784, Wesley sent Francis Asbury to the U.S., and thousands of Methodist churches were started via the circuit rider by horseback. You see, the seeds he planted started a movement around the world, seeds that flourished and multiplied and that are bearing fruit today. We gather here today because of those seeds being planted. Amen? Amen. Just some numbers to share with you. In the United States, we have 31,867 churches, United Methodist churches in the States, 12,255 in Africa, Asia, and Europe. And many of us as individuals, we are here as a result of a seed that was planted in each of us. Maybe it was a friend or a parent or a grandparent. Seeds are important. You see, John Wesley didn't know it at the time, the impact that he made on what we call Methodism here in the States. As you sow seeds, know that you have the opportunity to nurture and water those seeds around you that you are planting, but know that it is God who makes them grow. It's God who makes them grow. God has called each and every one of us to be sowers. Matthew 9 reminds us, 35 through 38, this important task that we have. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord for the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." As followers of Christ, we have been given the Great Commission to go and to make disciples and to be the sower of seeds. But first, we have to tend to our own hearts, don't we? We have to tend to our own hearts and ask God to till the soil of our hearts, to be open to him and to do a work in each and every one of us. How are you positioning yourself for spiritual growth? Last weekend I had a tremendous opportunity to go to the New Room Conference down in Nashville, Tennessee, and it is connected with this organization called Seedbed, who is doing amazing work, and it's a place where I go to grow spiritually, right? Just because I'm a clergy doesn't mean that my growth stops. And it's a place where I go and my soul is fed. And for the past several years, they have something called the Sower's Creed. And I want to share it with you today. It's something that has touched my heart, that has been life-changing for me, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. I want you to hear these words as I read them aloud. "Today I sow for a great awakening. Today I stake everything on the promise of the Word of God. I depend entirely on the power of the Holy Spirit. I have the same mind in me that was in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is good news and Jesus is in me, I am good news. Today I will sow the extravagance of the gospel everywhere I go and into everyone I meet. Today, I will love others as Jesus has loved me. Today, I will remember that the tiniest seeds become the tallest of trees, and that the seeds of today become the shade of tomorrow. That the faith of right now becomes the future of the everlasting kingdom. Today, I sow for a great awakening, a great awakening." Friends, we have an opportunity for you to respond to God this morning in a variety of ways. I don't have seeds for you all to take with you today, but I have an opportunity for you to remember who you are in Christ Jesus. To know that he claims you through the waters of baptism. And he calls you beloved. Calls you beloved. And he died on the cross for you. And we're changed through the bread and the cup. We're nourished for the sake of the kingdom through the sacraments of God working in us and through us to sow for a great awakening. We have a couple different opportunities for you this morning. Over here on this side of the CLC, we have communion elements, and these have been blessed. And you're able to move about and partake in those elements to remember what Christ did for you on the cross. but then also how he lives in you and how you're different because of that. I just mentioned the Sower's Creed this morning. We have bookmarks if you would like to take one or two of those with you to embrace that creed for yourself. And then over here on this side of the worship space, we have the baptismal font to dip your hands in the water, to remember your baptism and who you are in Christ, that he claims you. He claims you and calls you his beloved. We're also going to have the opportunity, if you're in a moment where you feel like you'd really like to have someone pray with you, that you just need someone just to pray with you in this moment. Reba and Lynn are going to be on either side of the stage up here on the corner, so we invite you to do that. There is no system or order to do this, so you have options. You can stay in your seat and pray. You can move about. Sean's going to come forward and bless us through song. But I just encourage you to seek the Spirit in this moment. Not shy away from it, but be blessed by it and received by it and respond to God in this moment. Let me pray for us, and then I'll dismiss you to move about however you feel called. Oh God, we come to you in this moment. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on each and every one of us here. God, there's so many of us here that need that the soil of our heart tilled, Lord, to work in us, Lord, so that we might hear and understand. God, I pray for a great awakening in each and every one of us, Lord, that your Spirit in us would be contagious, and that, Lord, we would be the ones to be able to plant seeds in this next generation to those around us. So, Lord, move about in this space through the prayer time, through the water of the baptismal remembrance, Lord, through the elements of communion. And God, through our time of prayer with you, God, we seek you in this moment. Bless us during this time. Amen.